Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. This is the reading of God's Word. Now it happened that he was passing through some grain fields on a Sabbath, and his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating the grain. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priest alone, and gave it to his companions. And he was saying to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will grant us an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only hear and believe, but also obey your word. Oh Father, receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The old has passed away, and the new has come. We see that transition from the book of Luke. The transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. From the promises to the fulfillment. From this world to heaven. From the temporary to the eternal. All has been changed. Thus, we cannot know or understand or believe anything according to the standards of this world anymore, according to the flesh anymore. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to the 17, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ." The substance belongs to Christ. The reality is Christ. We must understand and believe all things in terms of Jesus Christ, in terms of what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come." And there is one more verse that I would like to read to you before we begin our study on the topic of Sabbath, actually today and tomorrow, because the next passage also talks about Sabbath. But today we're going to look at Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And that verse that I want to read to you is Romans chapter 3, verse 19. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God." You and I, we are no longer under the law, but because of what our Lord has done and accomplished for us, the law is now beneficial to us who believe. See, without Christ, law just condemns us, it kills us. But because of what Christ has done, those laws are now beneficial to us. Thus, Romans chapter 3, verse 31, "Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law." The Bible does not teach that we do not have to obey the law of God any longer because we are living in the New Testament time. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 17, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." But those who use the law to justify themselves will be condemned by that same law. Well, let's look at our passage. Verse 1. "Now it happened that he was passing through some grain fields on a Sabbath, and his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating the grain." The disciples of Jesus were picking the heads of grain because they were hungry. Not only picking, but rubbing them in their hands and eating. Matthew 12 has the same event, and their disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. Luke chapter 6, verse 2 then. "But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?'" What is not lawful? Well, Pharisee here, they're not complaining about the disciples eating someone else's grain field, entering the grain field and eating the grain. Because Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, "When you enter your neighbor's standing grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not wield a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain." So entering someone else's grain field and, you know, picking and rubbing and eating is allowed in the law. So Pharisees are not complaining about that. The thing that the Pharisees are complaining about is that the disciples did this on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 10. "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you." And Exodus 34, verse 21, "You shall work 6 days, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during plowing time and harvest you shall rest." So the Pharisees are saying that the disciples, they are disobeying the law of God. These Pharisees at the time of Jesus Christ, they had 39 man-made laws around the fourth commandment to help them obey the fourth commandment. This is their logic. God gives you fourth commandment, so they make their own laws around it so that they don't even have to worry about fourth commandment, because if they just obey those man-made laws, they will never, you know, disobey that law. That was their logic. We could say that their intentions were good, but the intentions from the sinful hearts of sinners cannot ultimately be good. According to those laws, the disciples are guilty of at least 4 laws. Picking the grain, heads of grain. Well, harvesting on the Sabbath. Rubbing them in their hands. Well, threshing on the Sabbath. Blowing the chaff. Well, winnowing on the Sabbath. And all the things they did put together. Preparing food on the Sabbath. This is how they would judge people. Now, we must remember that the law of God is beneficial to the believers. Their purpose now is not to condemn them. But these man-made laws, they're just there to condemn people. Verses 3 to 5, and Jesus answered them, said, Have you not even read about David? What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priest alone, and gave it to his companions? And he was saying to them, The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The event that the passage is talking about is in 1 Samuel chapter 21. David and his followers were given the bread of the presence by the chief priest as they were fleeing from the king Saul. As you know, the temple of God had two rooms. The first room is holies, the other room, holy of holies. But at the time of Samuel, the temple was not erected yet. So we are talking about the tabernacle, the moving temple that Moses and God's people built. The first room was called holies. As you enter from the east, you will see on your left side the candle stand, golden lamp stand. And on the right side was the table of the showbread, or the table of the bread of presence. On that table, there were 12 breads in two rolls representing the people of God, but we know that ultimately they were representing Jesus Christ. And you and I, His people, are His body. Well, I'm not going to get into that today. On every Sabbath, the breads were replaced by the new ones, and the old ones were eaten by the priest in this holy room. Jesus speaks of what King David has done. Verse 4 says how David entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priest alone, and gave it to his companion. So at the complaint of Pharisees about his disciples, Jesus gives this example what King David has done in the past. Now we need to understand what Jesus is teaching us here. And here, Pharisees are in a very awkward situation now, because they certainly could not condemn King David, their hero. But not to condemn King David also means not condemning Jesus Christ and his disciples. Now, 1 Samuel 21 does not clearly say that the event happened during the Sabbath. But 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 6 says, So the priest gave him consecrated bread, for there was no bread there, but the bread of the presence which was removed from there before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place when it was taken away. It seems that the bread of the presence that was removed was not eaten yet, and it was removed not that long ago. Thus, we could say that it happened on the Sabbath day. But if we read 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 7, we read, Now one of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. So here we see a man named Doeg, the Edomite. He's the one who told King Saul later what the chief priest has done for the King David. And 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 7 says that he was detained before the Lord, meaning that he could not embark the journey. He was detained before the Lord. Why? Because he could not go to King Saul on that day. Well, we could conclude that because it was Sabbath day. So we could kind of conclude, not absolutely conclude, that what Jesus was saying happened on the Sabbath. Well, only from 1 Samuel we could kind of conclude, but when you come to New Testament, when Jesus says this, we could assume that it happened on Sabbath. That's why he's mentioning it. Anyway, what is the message of our Lord Jesus Christ here? He has said that the summary of all the laws of God is two things, loving God and loving the neighbor. That summarizes every law you could think of. So the law's purpose is to love God and love your neighbor. So when you obey God's law, that's what you're doing. You're loving God and you're loving your neighbor. That those two are the primary. Whatever is necessary for the worship and service of the Lord and whatever is necessary to love our neighbor are the primary. We read this in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath." So, God commanding people to obey the Sabbath commandment is for men. It's good for men when you do that. It's to bless you. That's what it means. Man was not made for Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. The commandment to keep the Sabbath holy is beneficial for man. It was not given to destroy man. If you and I were to keep the Lord's Day holy, then it would be beneficial to us. It's good for us. It is so odd that some people think that God's laws are to make our lives miserable. No. They are given to benefit us. It is good for us to obey God's law. Of course it is good for us to obey Him. In Matthew 12, we see the same event. And there in 12, verse 7a, we read, "But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent." All are for loving our God and loving our neighbors. That is the principle, and we must keep this in mind as we go on. Now, there are many things that the priest had to do in the temple on the Sabbath. So they had to work on Sabbath, and God told the Israelites, do not work on Sabbath. But this priest had to work on Sabbath. But those works were not sin, even though they were done on the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12, verse 5, "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent?" So they worked on Sabbath, and yet Jesus says they're innocent. Why? Because those laws are to worship God. I mean, those things that they did, those works, is to worship God and to serve God. In the same way, the pastors, we work on the Lord's Day. Some people even accuse me of only working one day a week. And that's today. I work. And they don't know what goes on behind the scene. But that's okay. But my work is about to worship and to serve God. And Jesus says that those works are not sin, even on Sabbath, even on you know, those works were done on Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12, verse 11 through 12, and he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." You understand, these are the works of mercy. Thus, working on the Lord's Day in the hospitals, the police station, or firehouses, they are allowed because it is considered the works of mercy. It's to love your neighbor, to save their lives. So when we say don't work on the Lord's Day, we don't mean that you don't even do the works of mercy. And Luke chapter 6, verse 5, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." See, Jesus is superior to the King David. And if what David has done is proper, then what Jesus has done is absolutely proper. And the Lord of the Sabbath is only one, God. Thus, this saying is the same as Luke chapter 5, verse 24. "The Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." He said that to show that he is God. Same thing here, that he is the Lord of Sabbath, meaning he is God. And let us look at this in a little bit more detail. The first thing that we must remember is that the commandment of God to keep the Sabbath holy was given at the creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 through 3, "By the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." He sanctified the seventh day, meaning that he made it holy. He's the one who set this day apart from the rest of the days. So you could see that he setting that day apart from other days from the time of creation. So this Sabbath command, it was first given at the creation. It was not given first to Moses as the law. It was given way before Moses. And the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy is the same as God's command to be like him. Exodus 31, verse 15 to the 17, "For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." So you see what God has done. He creates 6 days, and on seventh day, he rested. You follow him. You do what he did to be like God. So you work 6 days, and you rest on the seventh day. Now, we must rest on the seventh Sabbath because God has done it. And God has created the universe in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. Thus, God gave us this seven-day pattern. And in this seven-day pattern, it is to show that God is the Alpha and God is the Omega. He is the Creator and the Consummator. And this seven-day pattern points to the pattern of the whole history. The Sabbath of the seventh day, the rest of the seventh day points to the eternal rest, the rest of heaven. So when you just look at these 7 days, you are looking at the pattern of the whole history. And every day goes towards that rest, and that rest points to the eternal rest of heaven. So, your life is same thing, right? The whole history is going towards that eternal rest, which is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be consummated, visibly consummated, when Jesus Christ comes back. And the eternal rest is resting from the world and sin. Heavenly rest is not physical rest. Because God's rest is not physical rest. When we say God rested on seventh day, did He rest it because He was tired? Because the work of 6 day creation was so hard that He said, I need to take a break, I need to rest. Is that what happened? No, God just rested from what He was doing 6 days. He stopped creating. And that's the whole point here. The rest ultimately points to the heavenly rest of our Lord Jesus Christ after He accomplishes and consummates the works of salvation. So the eternal rest is resting from sin. When you go to heaven, you don't sin anymore, meaning that you're resting from sin. And when you go to heaven, there's no more this world, so you're resting from the world. That's what heavenly rest is all about. No more sin, no more this world. That's the rest. And the seventh-day rest of the Sabbath was pointing to that rest, heavenly rest. Now, so we must follow what God has done. We rest from whatever we were doing on the other 6 days. Because other 6 days, we're living in this world, so we must do the works of this world. We must do all those works. But on the seventh day, which points to heavenly rest, which is resting from the world, so you rest. You don't do the things that you were doing the first 6 days. That's the whole principle, but it's hard to find people who are doing that, or at least trying to do that. The first creation, God created this universe in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested, meaning that there was nothing more to create anymore. But since sin comes into this world, now God has work of salvation on the seventh day. See, first creation, He created 6 days. On seventh day, He rested. No more creation. But because of sin, God now has to work on the seventh day. Work of salvation. Thus Jesus says this in John chapter 5 verse 17, as He heals a man who was sick for 38 years on the Sabbath day, My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. So what is Father's work all about? Well, it's a work of salvation. It's not work of creation, it was done. Then what work is there to, there for God to do? Well, work of salvation. And we could say that work of salvation is work of new creation. Genesis told us that God rested after the 6 days of creation. But because of sin, there remained work for God. Thus, the Old Testament rest day is God's work day now. God works to save His people. Thus, the Old Testament Sabbath passes away. God has told us that this will happen even from the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 2, verse 11. I will also put an end to all her gaiety, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her festal assemblies. So even from the Old Testament, God said there will be a day when Sabbath is no more. The new Sabbath day is now given because that day when God promised there will be no more Sabbath because the original Sabbath was Saturday. That day has come with Christ. When Christ came, that day has come. But God's people are now given the new Sabbath day. Because it is Sabbath after new creation. Not Sabbath after first creation, but Sabbath after new creation. We could see this in the following way in terms of what we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 4. Priests answered David and said, "There is no ordinary bread on hand, but there is consecrated bread. If only the young men have kept themselves from woman." Priest saying, "I could give you that consecrated bread, but only if young men that they are with King David, if they kept themselves from woman. If only reason for the chief priest to give the bread to David and the young men who were following David was because the life of these men were more important than the Sabbath law, then why does the priest say that if only the young men have kept themselves from woman?" Here we see that the high priest treat David and the young men who were following David as the priests. We already know that David points to Jesus Christ. He is a type Jesus Christ. Jesus is the king, but he is also the priest. Thus, David is witness to be not only the king, but priest. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, "Now if the perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the people received the law. What further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron?" What is that Hebrew passage saying? You remember, the priesthood started from Aaron. So it comes down even at the time of Jesus Christ. It just keep on coming down. But what Hebrews says is that that's the Levitical priesthood. But if that was perfect priesthood, why did we need another priesthood that did not come down from Aaron but came down from Melchizedek? Meaning that the priesthood of Aaron was not perfect. It has to pass away. So Jesus is our priest, our high priest, in order of Melchizedek, the king, not Aaron. Completely different priesthood. Because the old priesthood has to pass away. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the priest that did not arise according to the order of Aaron. Like I said, he is in the order of Melchizedek. He is the true priest and the son of David. This reality is already witnessed in 1 Samuel through David, who is a type Jesus Christ. Combined with Luke chapter 5, verse 38, but new wine must be put into flesh wineskin. What we are looking at in our passage is our Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of Sabbath, accomplishing the new Sabbath. Do you remember the pattern? God creates 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. So people are to follow him, imitate him. Same thing. Jesus Christ comes and he accomplishes a new creation and he rested on the first day, Lord's Day, because that's when he entered the heavenly rest. That's when he was resurrected from the dead. So we are to imitate Christ now. New creation, and Jesus rested on the first day. He resurrected from the dead on the first day. Meaning he entered that eternal rest on the first day. So we do the same now. We rest on the first day, Lord's Day. Not difficult. Not that the whole Sabbath concept is destroyed and it doesn't apply to anymore. No. But we're given new Sabbath day because it is new creation. That's why the fact that he was resurrected on the Lord's Day, the first day, is very, very important. He resurrected on the Lord's Day to show us that the new Sabbath has been accomplished. The Old Testament Sabbath, if you look at the seven-day pattern, the Old Testament people, they had to live their lives in terms of looking forward. So from first day to sixth day, they worked looking forward to the rest. But not after Jesus Christ accomplished our rest. We start from the rest. Our seven-day pattern starts from the rest. It changed. Jesus Christ came and has accomplished the eternal Sabbath, the true rest of heaven. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the true king and the true priest. And in him, all of his people are the kings of heaven and the priests of heaven. Thus, as priest of God, doing the work of serving and worshiping God is not sin for us. We are priests. So whatever it takes for you to worship God and to serve him, you do it. It's not sin for you. And whatever it takes to truly love your neighbor, you do it. It's the work of mercy. You are God's priest and you are God's king. But if it is not about loving God and truly loving your neighbor, then do not work. Rest. To witness the heavenly rest. So you don't have to go buy potato chips on the Lord's Day. Because unless that potato chips, you could save lives. Whatever you might be thinking, can I do this on the Lord's Day? Is it really loving God and loving my neighbor, well, then do it. If it's not, then stop. Keep this day holy. Old Testament seven-day pattern, looking forward to the rest. Now, the New Testament seven-day pattern, we begin with the rest. Because the rest of heaven has been already accomplished. We are not just waiting for the rest. In Christ, we enjoy the rest. Of course, the rest of heaven is not yet visibly consummated, but our situation is different from the Old Testament. This is after Jesus came and accomplished our eternal salvation. So we cannot go back to the old. But just like the seventh day of the Old Testament pointing to the heavenly rest, our first day of rest is also pointing to the heavenly rest. And on this day, you are to witness the reality of that heavenly rest. What is heavenly rest? Resting from sin, resting from the world. So you don't do those things to witness that I already belong to eternal rest. And what is eternal rest all about? Worshiping. That is why we gather on the Lord's Day to worship Him. To witness the reality of that eternal rest that Christ has accomplished for us. But you need to understand, even the Old Testament rest was pointing to the same thing. But the situation is different. They were looking forward to that, whereas we are enjoying it. Thus, as we keep the New Testament Sabbath, the Lord's Day, holy, we witness that Jesus Christ is the true Lord of Sabbath. And that is what this worship is all about. We're acknowledging Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And He has accomplished our Sabbath. Thus, this worship witness that reality. And as you rest from the world and sin, even after worship, when you go home, you witness that Jesus has accomplished this rest. And it is our joy to do so. Yeah, by not working, you tell your fellow worldly citizen, I don't know if I could use the fellow there, that you don't live according to the world. You even say to them, it's not just bread of this world that I live on. I live on the Word of God, the bread, true bread of heaven. I don't need the world. That's what you're saying to the people. That we don't need the world. The world is dead to us. And we are dead to it. That's what the Bible tells us. I need God. Man does not live by bread alone. You are showing that. You tell them, that's not how I live. And we don't live because the world has jobs and that job gives you money, that's why you're living. No, you tell them, I'm living because of God. You tell them you're free from this world. And whatever world has, whatever purpose they have, that has nothing to do with us. Because we don't belong here. in this Lord's Day Sabbath. It's so important because it is the only thing that you could do to show that you are a Christian. This is the only thing. You know, I see new faces, so I need to say this. I said this many times, right? Some people say, you know, let's say you're a lawyer or doctor, you know, show yourself you're Christian. And they go, oh, okay, so you don't charge people that much and you're so working hard for these poor people. Hey, if it is that, even non-Christians do it. Actually, non-Christians do it better than you. Some non-Christians, they don't even charge anything. So that's not how you show you're Christian. Because if you want to show you're Christian in those terms, non-Christian will always do it better than you. Then how can I show that I'm a Christian? Lord's Day worship. That's how. There's nothing else. I pray that you would understand this. How else are you going to show that you're Christian? By being nice? No, non-Christians are nice. Please, brothers and sisters, if a church loses the Lord's Day, it's over. I lost my place. All right. We affirm that the Old Testament Sabbath day has changed to New Testament Lord's Day. And we deny that this means that we do not have to keep the Lord's Day holy anymore. We must keep it holy. Way more than the Old Testament kept the Sabbath day holy. We must show that we are now participating in the rest of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Lord's Day. It didn't come out right. Brothers and sisters, we do not keep the Lord's Day under coercion or by force or against one's will or under compulsion or unwillingly. No. And we do not keep the Lord's Day holy to accomplish the righteousness in the sight of God. No, we just enjoy the eternal heavenly rest. Enjoy. And this worship is exactly that. I am enjoying heaven. Because this is what heaven is all about. Gathering with my brothers and sisters and worshiping God. Enjoy. Sometimes you have to understand what you're doing. This is not chore. This is not like, when is it going to end? Or, oh, I got to go to church today.
There's no rain in the forecast.
What? I don't know what happened. So you have to understand. This is our joy, eternal joy. And I pray that until we go to heaven, that we will realize that. So that this joy will just continue to heaven. Just wait about 50 years or so. Ugh, 50 years. I want to say about 10 years, but you know, there are people who are older than me, so I don't want to say that. But I will see all of you in heaven. And guess what? What we will be doing together? worshiping, just like this. And I guarantee it, you and I, oh, we will be very happy. So why not now? Let's be very, very happy as we worship our God. I have a lot more to say, but I'll save it for some other time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you how he has accomplished the eternal rest for us. And he signaled that by resurrecting from the dead on the first day, the Lord's day. Thus, we enjoy the heavenly rest as we gather unto you on this glorious day, Lord's Day, to worship you and praise your holy name. How awesome it is that you let us experience heaven even though we are still living in this world. Oh, Father, let all of us understand how joyous this occasion is. And if there are brothers and sisters who do not know that joy yet, oh, Father, have mercy upon all of us and give us that joy. Give us that faith. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.